Praise the Lord. We're just thankful to be before you here on this afternoon. Clearly, God is truly awesome. That's the only way that I can really state this at this point, because right now we're seeing, even as we heard the word as far as the praise and worship and what God is doing as far as filling this place, I am just so grateful to have this opportunity to stand before you here today in the stead of my brother, Pastor Danny Parga. Please be praying for them, because right now they are in Florida. They are officiating a marriage ceremony, and I'm looking forward to hearing an awesome testimony regarding what God is doing in the life of that lovely couple who have come together in holy matrimony. And my prayer is that God will continue to move in that couple, in that family, so that his name may be glorified. And I look forward to hearing an awesome testimony regarding what God is doing in that couple. So please, if you get an opportunity to be praying for Pastor Danny and his wife, Sister Judy, as they return back to Columbia. And again, this is always an honor and privilege just to stand before you and to kind of sort of fill in the gap for my brother. I've known Pastor Danny for 20 years, and it's always an awesome privilege to have him choose me to kind of sort of stand in the gap for him and declare and proclaim the gospel message, which brings life. So with that being the case, with that being said, I want to real quickly just ask that as the word of God comes forth, that God would continue to kind of sort of rein your minds in. I know sometimes when we're watching the word on our telecast or through streaming, that sometimes the hustle and bustle of what's going on in our surroundings, in our homes, sometimes can distract us from actually hearing and receiving the message. And I understand how that works sometimes, because typically whenever you are engaged in hearing God's message of truth or life, you know, everything tends to happen. You know, the hot water heater breaks, or the kids act up. It's always something. But I want and I pray that God will deal with you, that even in the midst of what can happen in regard to you engaging the Lord regarding hearing his word and truth, that those distractions will not take you away from receiving. Because, again, distractions are what they are, distractions to get you away from receiving the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So with that being the case, the title of my message this afternoon is My Identification to His Glorification. And the title of my sermon on today is going to be telling regarding what I'm going to be discussing. And the passage I'm going to be dealing with is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So one of the things, key things or aspects in creating a sermon is to choose, of course, a topic and a subject matter. And after choosing a topic or a theme, you will eventually have to give it a title. Now, the title should reflect your theme in order for your audience to identify the subject matter. Now, today I'm not going to be discussing the 3 points or 7 points of fashioning a sermon, but I want to let you know in advance that I'm departing from the basics of sermon writing to communicate a spiritual point. And that point is two letters from today's sermon topic. And those two letters are T and O, two. I'm not talking about Terrell Owens by any stretch. I'm just talking about two letters in our alphabets, T and O, two. Two is a preposition that expresses motion in a direction or approaching or reaching a particular condition or destination. Let me give you an example. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, excuse me. Again, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And this is a very familiar scripture. We quote it a lot, and for the most part, we quote it in part. But today we're going to quote the entire verse so that we can gather context regarding what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to convey to us this afternoon. And it reads, and of course I'm reading in the King James Version, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, most of us believe, including myself, that the main subject matter of this verse is Jesus being the beginning and finisher, or author and finisher of our faith, which primarily deals with our purpose and destiny. This is true, but it is not the main subject matter, okay? The main subject matter is looking unto Jesus, okay? This issue is not just our past or future, which deals with time, but who are you looking to right now? I want you to ask yourself this question. Who are you looking to right now? Amen? That word looking in the Greek is aphoreo, which means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. You see, what you are looking to now will authenticate your past and validate your future. See, this is the essence of our faith. Again, turn one page over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, another familiar verse of scripture in the Bible that we quote all the time. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. Listen to what it says here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me repeat that again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, now faith is dealing with our present. Now faith transcends the time continuum and places us in spiritually in heavenly places with Christ. Because the issue is not about your past and really not your future. It's where you are right now. What are you looking to at this present time? What is your focus at this present time? How are you living or demonstrating your faith at this present time? Because we're not talking about the past. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about now. And one of the key aspects of following and serving the Lord Jesus Christ in regard to us identifying with him and experiencing the future glory is to have a faith that is active now. Amen? And I want to make sure that y'all get this because, again, when we are practicing our faith now, this present faith, it transcends what we did in our past. And, of course, we're not quite at our future yet, which is the glorification. But what it does is it brings veracity to our relationship, our identification with Christ as we stand. Because if we are living our faith right now, again, it brings validation to our past, and of course, it brings credibility to our future. And because of that, we are able to experience the presence of God in heavenly places with Christ. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn to, again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 just so that you understand that this faith that you have, this faith that you possess is right now. And the word reads, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," that's our past, "has quickened us together with Christ," presently, because the word of God says, "by grace ye are saved," "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come," which is our future, "he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." So we see right now that in that particular verse, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ now. Now you may say, "Well, brother, I'm on earth right now. I'm in your presence right now. I'm watching you on television right now." But again, we have to remove the element of time, Because in the continuum of eternity, there is no time. There is no past. There is no future. There's only a right now. And today I wanted to encourage many of you who may find yourself struggling, going through challenges and difficulties in their life because they feel that, man, I did something in my past that didn't really line up with the truth. Or because I did something in my past, it's affecting my ability to enter into my future. But I want to encourage you today that if you have a now faith, if you are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, and if you're trusting him right now, your past is taken care of and your future is assured. Amen? I love this because, again, this is why Jesus even stated, and again, I'm quoting the author and perfecter himself, and he stated this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Turn real quickly to Matthew 10, verse 22. And this is why Jesus stated in regard to our persecutions to come. Listen to what it says in Matthew 10, 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But here's the powerful part of this verse. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Are you enduring right now? Look at your neighbor. Are you still enduring? Are you still holding fast to the faith? Are you still actively pursuing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because again, we have that assurance in Christ based on not what we did in our past, because in times past, we used to live according to the ways of this present world system. And of course, the glorification comes when we enter into his presence and we experience the glory that came from the Father to the Son. And because we are the bride of Christ, we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We experience that glory. But again, the validation of your past and your future will reveal itself based on how you're living right now. That's why he said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And this is why, saints of God, even in the midst of the trials and challenges you're facing in your life, you must have the ability to endure. You must continue to fight the good fight of faith. You must not allow your challenges, your difficulties, your hardships, your circumstance to take your eyes away from beholding our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is the pattern. He is the standard. He is the one that we are looking to. And if we're looking at him, as we behold him, Scripture says we are going to be changed into that very same image. Amen? So I am just grateful to share this with you because sometimes we look at our life based on what we did in the past, and again, it brings question to our future. But again, if we're living our life in Christ, our assurance is secure. Amen? Now, I wanted to talk about this more, and normally I normally don't change the scriptures a little bit, but I wanted to, again, finalize this aspect of my message and go into the theme of my message, which is in 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. But when you remove the time element and focus on what he is doing in us now, this is really how that verse should read. Listen, it says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the essence of looking unto Jesus. This is the essence of my identification and his glorification, because even as I am speaking right now, where is he? He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father. The Son is being glorified. Amen? He's in the presence of God. He's interceding on our behalf. And as a result, we see his glory being manifested. His glory is being revealed. And how is that glory being manifested and revealed? When we stand presently where we are in our present time, adhering and holding on to our faith in him. That's why those two letters are so powerful, too. T-O. Another aspect of this verse and T.O. regarding our present is the fact that when we experience the fact that we're in our present right now and we're experiencing challenges and difficulties, I want to encourage you, because what you're going through right now is what every believer will be going through at one point in time, and that's suffering. See, that too, my identification to his glorification, where we stand now is the believer's suffering. And I know this is not a popular term in Scripture, and most pastors don't really talk about suffering too much, because many of us, when we come to church, we want to be edified, we want to be encouraged, we want God to speak to us, we want God to bless us. And again, nothing wrong with the blessings of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with receiving God's benefits, but primarily the goal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the goal of the Father, is, of course, to conform us into the image of his Son. Well, we've read clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that the basis of that scripture was him enduring the cross, despising shame. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you are willing to take up your cross and follow him and are willing to experience scorn and shame? We now live in a nation where standing up for truth and righteousness is not popular, that the status quo now is the theme in our nation. And if you find yourself at odds with the majority, then you will be scrutinized, you will be mocked, you will be talked about, you will be labeled. And one of the things that we must understand as believers is that we're not trying to align ourselves with this present world system, because our kingdom is above. Scripture says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Because we have been raised from death to life, and our life is hid with Christ in God. So the fact that we are here experiencing suffering or persecution for his name's sake validates the fact that we belong to him. And when we can't stand being talked about, when we can't stand going through suffering or persecutions or trials, we demonstrate that we're not his. Because in order for him to receive his glory, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. But he wanted to fulfill the will of the Father, and he did it to the end. So I wanted to share this with you again to encourage you. Because I really believe in our nation right now that we are in the twilight of our nation. The things that once held the United States as being one nation under God is now disintegrating. And we see people are rampantly departing, not just the unsaved. I'm talking about people that are in church buildings, that are departing from the faith and following seducing spirits. To the point that the church right now, some churches are believing that homosexuality is okay, that sexual immorality is okay. All of these things we're seeing in our nation is a direct result of us not beholding or looking unto Jesus. And this is why it's so important that we remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And again, I'm dealing with, again, identification to glorification. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, and it reads, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." I'm going to read verse 2. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let's go back and reread that again. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh." That word "suffered" in the Greek means, or it has various meanings. Actually, as a matter of fact, it has three different meanings. And I'm going to real quickly share with you these three separate meanings, but it has a primary premise or context that is relative to what we are dealing with right now. Because again, the fact that Christ suffered in the flesh does not mean that we don't have to go through some form of suffering. Because Scripture says, Jesus said, the servant is no greater than the master. And just like he suffered, we also will experience some suffering or pain or hardships or trials. So this is a part of us identifying with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? The first aspect of suffered or suffering is to have an experience, to undergo. In other words, to be affected, which leads to an effect, i.e., a change or response. In other words, when you go through suffering, when you went through the experience, it has an effect on you. But that effect is supposed to produce an effect. And that effect will cause you to either respond to the Lord and whatever he's called for you to do or whatever purpose he had for you to complete. And of course, it's going to change you. Because now you're not seeing it the way you used to see it. You're seeing it the way he sees it. Amen? Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. And again, this is Christ's suffering, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. That's his experience. By the things which he suffered, his experience, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So we see the first aspect of suffering is going through the experience. Because we see here in this verse that Jesus went through the experience. He was not excluded because he was the Son. He was not excluded because he is deity. He was not excluded because he is Lord. He was not excluded because he was the Messiah. He patiently went through with what we to some degree go through, with prayers, with supplication. Sometimes when we're going through challenges so difficult, we have to cry about it. Tears pouring out, crying out to God, crying out, asking the Lord to save you and deliver you through that situation. But I want to encourage you, because Jesus went through that process first. And the fact that he went through the trial, went through the experience, that should give us an assurance to know that we can also go through that trial, go through that tribulation. Why? Because we identify with him. See, that's all a part of identification. It's not him going through something, but I'm excluded from it. No, we go through it together. We bear it together. See, that is the essence. Your identification with Christ is what makes us, not just me and him, one, but all of us as one. Because who are we? We are the body of Christ. We are the church, and we are one. I'm reminded in John chapter 17, he prayed to the Father that the church, the believers, his disciples, will be one, just like he and the Father is one. And that's all a part of identification, being one, not just in the glorification, but also the identification. Not just when you're experiencing the mountaintop experiences, but when you go through the valley. You both are going through it together, and because Christ in you, who is the hope of glory, is giving you the strength to go through, you can stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And you don't have to be entangled by the bondages of sin or by the hindrances or the difficulties of life, because that's what life is all about. Not just the mountaintop experiences, but the valleys low. Because you can't experience the joy of being on the mountaintop unless you've been in the valley. So this is where we see that there has to be an experience. The suffering is an experience. But how are you going to deal with that experience? Your attitude will determine how you deal with that experience. And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves individually. Are we doing it in ourselves? Are we doing it in him and for him? The second, and I'm reminded, because again, when I said identification, there's another scripture that we also share in this affliction. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'm going to read it real quickly because we got a lot to deal with. In 1 Peter 2, 21, this is our part of identifying or identification with Christ. Because it reads, "For even hereunto were ye called." Did you catch that? We are called to go through this experience. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So when we persevere, when we go through, when we endure, we're following in his steps. Because he had the victory first, and because we are a part of him, we also can experience true victory ourselves. Amen? A second aspect of suffering is, it means in the Greek, it is in a bad sense, to suffer sadly, to be in a bad plight, to have a bad experience, or to go through an intense test. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, this is Jesus, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Could the Lord Jesus Christ deliver himself from the suffering, from the pain? Absolutely, he could have. I'm reminded in the Word of God where he said he can call 12 legions of angels to deliver him from the suffering, from the affliction that he was going through. But he understood that he had to press through in order for us to experience the victory of going through. And this is why we have to understand that when we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are going to experience bad things, difficult situations, hard circumstances. It's not going to feel good. It may not even look good. But the fact that he went through it first should give us an assurance that we can go through it ourselves, because our life is hid in his life. Amen? And this is, again, something that we also share in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted." He's able to deliver. He's able to bring them through, help them through, deliver them through their pain, their suffering, their hardship. Why? Because he went through it first. Another scripture regarding this truth, and I am so encouraged by this. It reads in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." See, your godliness that you have can only be refined when you go through the suffering. See, many of us are trying to live godly in our own strength, in our own way, apart from Christ. But see, you can't be godly apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that makes you godly. That is an attribute of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is pure. He is holy. And see, when we are connected by identifying with him, again, we exemplify his character. Because again, it's not just us going through, it's Christ taking us through this difficulty with us, so we don't feel like we're by ourselves. Amen? So I'm encouraged by that. And the third aspect of suffering is to be, listen to this. Now, this is surprising to me when I read this. It means to be well off. To be well off. It's amazing how it started as an experience, and then it went into a bad experience, but now we're getting into the manifestation of the promise being fulfilled, in that we turn out to be better off than when we started. Because the third aspect of it means to be well off. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also hath once," let me say that again, "once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, the goal of him suffering is so that he may pave a way that we may experience the quickening of the Spirit. Because Jesus said in the Word of God, I lay down my life, but I have the authority to raise it up again. Because he is God, he is deity, he is the Word incarnate. And because we identify with him, we don't, just like he could not stay in that dead state in the grave, he was able to raise himself up. As a matter of fact, the Father told him to come up. And as a result of us identifying ourselves with Christ, we're able to be raised up with him also. Amen? And this is how we're able to experience the quickening that comes by and through the Holy Spirit. And that quickening is what we get that term life from. Because it's the very same life that God breathed into man's nostrils that man became a living soul. It's that very same life that's going to raise us up from the grave, from the penalty and the consequences of our sin that we committed in our past. But because, again, we identify with him, we're able to be quickened by his Spirit. Ain't that good news? It's good news to me. I don't know if it's good news to you. But this is, again, how we identify even being well off, because this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye, that's us, have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, you can't get to being perfected, being established, strengthened, and settled unless you go through the process of suffering a little while. Because, see, that's the process that God has chosen to conform you to the image of the Son. When we look at any type of precious metals, I don't care if it's gold or silver, it goes through a refining process. And in order for the refining process to take place, of course, just like with anything else, we have to be willing, obedient, and submissive to allow that process to take place. Because until that gold or that silver has been refined properly, the value won't be there. But see, when it goes through the process, the refining process, you see something that appeared to be detestable or worthless turned out to be something beautiful and valuable. But in order to get to that point, you've got to go through the process. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you are willing to go through the process? How many of you are willing to allow the Lord to take you through the trial and the difficulties of life in order to come to the completed and finished work that he has desired for your life and my life since the foundation of the world? The second part of that verse says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You see, our attitude regarding how we deal with these issues really is up here in your mind, in my mind. Amen? It's almost like that old adage, your attitude will determine your altitude. So what is our mindset when we go through these challenges in our life, when we go through suffering? The Word of God says we ought to arm ourselves. That word arm in the Greek means to provide, to furnish oneself with a thing, which is from another Greek word, hoplon, which means arms used in warfare, weapons. Now, even though we're talking about arming yourself, we're not referring to carnal weapons. We know what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. These are not carnal weapons. But these are spiritual weapons, because it says in that second part of the verse, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? In our mind. So the battle is not so much in the flesh. Yes, we are, our flesh is being buffeted. Yes, we go through the pain and suffering in our bodies, but really the major attack that is being waged against us is in our mind. This is why the Word of God says that we ought to have the mind of Christ. Because, see, again, if we have the right attitude, then we understand that, yes, it's difficult, yes, it's hard, but my mindset is this. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives within me. See, that's the assurance we have as believers. We're not going through this by ourselves. But again, we have to be properly armed. We have to be properly girded up. Amen? And this is why it's important, saints of God, that we are to arm ourselves or to arm our mind. With what? With spiritual weapons. Now, I don't have time to go into Ephesians chapter 6, but at your leisure, read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through, down to verse 14, 15, and you will see and understand the weapons that we have. Because Scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Not just casting down imagination or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, but holding into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, it starts there. And see, when we are girded up here in our mind, then we can fight the good fight of faith in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Word of God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might, not our might. We don't have any might. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Now, through that, because our mindset is prepared, our minds is girded up, now we can put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we're fighting against three: our flesh, the world system, and the devil. And when our mind is girded up, when our minds is properly armed, then we can put on the whole armor of God. Because the Word of God says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this present world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's why Scripture says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Well, how are you going to stand? Are you standing because you have the armor on? Yeah, to some degree. But your ability to fight effectively against this present world system, against your own flesh, and against the devil is when your mind has been properly armed. You can give a soldier the most technologically advanced armament. You can give him the most advanced weaponry. And you can put at his disposal all the support he needs in order to win the battle. But if his mindset is not there, I don't care how you equip him, he's not going to experience the victory. Saints of God, you want to experience the victory that can only come in Christ? Scripture says we ought to arm ourselves. That word arm metaphorically means to take on the same mind in apprehension, which is understanding, and affection, devotion, our commitment. This is the basis of being one with Christ as well as with one another. My identification, his glorification. And finally, verse 2, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That word cease means to restrain a thing or a person from something. It also means, in layman's term, no longer stirred by incitements and seductions. In other words, I'm not saying in the Scripture he's saying that you won't commit sin. What it's saying is in the Scripture that you will not practice it. Because again, with your mind being armed and the fact that you are identifying yourself with Christ, then comes his glorification. And that glorification is being manifested in your life and in my life. Verse 2 gives a defining meaning regarding that word cease, because listen to what it says here in verse 2. And I love this, because when I read this part, I come to a greater appreciation and understanding regarding what the Word of God is trying to convey to me, even as I go through my challenges in life. Listen to what it says. That he, that's us, no longer should live the rest of his life, his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, when you cease from sin, you're not committing your time to manufacture other ways to continue in your sin. See, you identify with him. Because you identify with him, Scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't think the same way. We don't act the same way. And when that change takes place in our life, now we can experience the glorification process. Now we find ourselves not utilizing our present time and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. And that's the essence of man, to manifest, to produce fruits, meat for the master, so that we can carry out and fulfill our purpose, complete our assignment, and give the maximum pleasure to our Lord. That is the essence of fulfilling and carrying out the will of God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Father, I just pray for that person right now that is going through difficulties and hardships in their life. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen their inner man, that they will come to a deeper, more intimate fellowship with you, that they would have an encounter with you. That, Lord, that their pursuit after you will be deliberate and intentional. That they would realize and understand that, Father God, that your son went through the process just as we are now going through this process. And I pray that that person will put their trust and their reliance in you, and that they would realize that their strength, their enablement can only come by you and through you. And I just pray right now that, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would keep them, that you would sustain them, that you would fill them with your spirit, your truth, and your life. That, Lord, that you would one day put them on display, that they would manifest maturity, that they would produce fruit, that Christ's glorification may be revealed in their life. Again, Father, I thank you again for your word, your people, and I just pray, Lord God, that you will be glorified in our life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.